Amen. So how do you trust him? By acknowledging him. Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. I can't see, but I know you will. And God will always take care of you. I praise God for that. If you stand with us this morning, John chapter 14. I've enjoyed the Sunday school hour, enjoyed the singing this morning. And I pray that God will help us these next few moments here in two verses of Scripture, John chapter 14. This is a familiar text, but I want to take however long the Holy Spirit would have me to and just preach salvation as simple, as plain as can. And it always is simple. I don't want to mislead, but sometimes you just got to boil everything down to just the brass tacks of things, amen? And that's what our burden has been last week and this week as well. John chapter 14, verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me. I ask you to guide my thoughts. I ask you to guide my heart, my motive this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit would guide my tongue. Help me not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit in any way. Lord, you know every heart, every need that's represented. I pray, God, that there'd be no hindrances in this service this morning. I ask you to bind the devil in any way. I know he'd want to hinder someone from hearing and receiving and listening. But God, I pray that you'd bind the devil this morning in any way. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in thy law. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The verses that are preceding the text that we've read this morning, I want you to note that Jesus gives the disciples four things here that will encourage them to go on for the work of God. If you notice in verse number 1, he gives them a peace that is holy. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, I can say that to you, but that's not going to take away the trouble that's within your heart. But Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. And here's how it can be removed. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, the cure for a troubled heart is finding peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so there is a peace that is holy. Then in verse number 2, there's a picture of heaven. As he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, somebody needs to tell Chuck Swindoll and everybody else, all them other that don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. They said, well, now that's just rooms, you King James guys. You said, well, you ought not call his name. Well, he called all our names when he called out the King James Bible. Amen. I was listening to the radio one day, and Chuck made me pretty mad when he come on there and said, Well, all you King James people, don't you get excited about mansions. There is no mansions in heaven. He said that word mansion means rooms. I said, Chuck, you need to read on the rest of that verse, amen, because Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you, amen. Now, you can think what you want to, but I'm just going to take the Bible at face value and tell you, I don't think God's got shacks in heaven. Somebody say amen. I believe, my friend, the finest of the finest is on the hills of glory, built by our Father, spoken by the very Word of God. I've not been there and I've not seen it, but there is a picture of heaven in verse number 2, and then there's a promise about himself in verse number 3. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Jesus gives a promise that he's coming, and that where he's going, every blood-washed saint of God is going to go. And then in verse number 4, he gives a path that is helpful. He said, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Jesus said, where I'm going, he said, you men, you disciples, you know where I'm going, and you know the way to get there. Now, when we come to our text this morning, we find Thomas in verse number 5. I'll tell you, when we think about Peter and we think about Thomas, they get picked on more than any other disciples, but the truth of the text is that we as Christians relate more to Peter and we relate more to Thomas than any of the other disciples. Amen? Because we've all had our failures, we've all had our blunders, and we've all had our moments of doubt. Isn't that right? Well, look with me at verse number 4. What I want you to see about Thomas in this text here is that number 1, Thomas is a disciple. Amen? Thomas is one of the disciples here. What that means is that Thomas believed Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Amen? Listen, though he had his ups and his downs, his faith always prevailed. Amen? I mean, Thomas may have doubted, but in the end, you know what? Thomas ended up believing the same thing in the end, in the same person that he started out. Amen? I'm telling you, you may be here and you may doubt this at times. You may doubt the way and you may doubt that you got there. But I tell you, if you've got real faith in your heart, faith will always prevail. Amen? And so Thomas, we see the disciples. Then we see Thomas the devoted. Look what he said. Thomas saith unto him, Lord. Amen? I mean, Thomas called Jesus Lord. What that means is that Thomas didn't just believe, but my friend, this means that Thomas was doing his best to follow Jesus and to surrender to him. Amen? Thomas wasn't perfect, but Thomas had faith in Christ, and Thomas was doing his best to follow Christ. Thomas the devoted. But then we notice Thomas the disturbed. Notice what he said. He said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Because of what Jesus said in verse number 4, it tore Thomas up in verse 5. You know, Thomas, we see him as the disturbed. But this morning, we've all been disturbed at things we've read. Isn't that right? There's been times when we've read verses that, in fact, I'm going to deal with a verse this morning in the close of this sermon that I've never preached on it, but it's always disturbed me. That verse that says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Boy, the Calvinists love that verse, don't they? Amen? And but I'll tell you, some of them times I read them verses and them statements, and I'll be honest with you, I'm like Thomas. I get a little bit disturbed by what I hear the Lord say. And so Thomas, we seem the disturbed. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We see not only Thomas the disturbed, but listen to this. We see Thomas the doubter. Amen. How can we know the way? Here's what I want you to get out of verse 4 this morning. Thomas was a believer. Thomas was following Jesus. Thomas was disturbed about what Jesus said about the way to heaven. You know why Thomas was disturbed? It wasn't because Thomas didn't believe in the way. It was because Thomas wanted to be so sure that he knew the way that it disturbed him. You see, Thomas believed that Christ was the way. But he wanted to be so sure that he was going. He wanted to be so sure that he was on the right way. You know, there's a lot of people that get saved and they're just like Thomas. They believe, they're saved, they believe. They're following Jesus the best way they know how. And sometimes, guess what? They get disturbed, and that disturbance can bring a little bit of doubt in their soul. You know why? It's not because they don't believe. It's not because they're not saved. It's because, friend, they want to be so sure that they're going. And Jesus knew Thomas's heart. He knew Thomas wanted to go to heaven. He knew that Thomas, my friend, trusted him. And my friend, when you think about this, Thomas is trying so hard in verse 5 to make sure that he gets it right. He is trying so hard to know the way and wants to make sure that he doesn't miss the way to heaven, that what he forgets is that he's already on the way. Amen. Jesus looks at him and says, hey, Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas, you want to know the way. You've been on the way. Amen. I tell you what some people that are saved need to do. They need to quit trying so hard to figure everything out. They need to listen to quit trying so hard to be sure that they're on the way. They need to wake up to the fact that a long time ago you got on the way when you put your faith and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How can we know the way? Thomas, you've been on the way. You're on your way, Thomas. You're 3.5 years closer unto where we're going than you was when you started. Amen. Thomas the doubter, but still Thomas the believer. Amen. See, you might be a doubter, but just because you're a doubter, that don't make you a non-believer. Unbelief is a struggle. Doubt this morning, listen to me, is a choice. Doubt is a struggle. Let me get that right. Doubt is a struggle. Unbelief this morning, listen to me, it's a choice. Amen. That is a choice this morning to choose not to believe. And when Jesus gave Thomas this answer in verse number 6, now I want you to note this answer. We know verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to think about that answer this morning, because what we have in verse number 5, we have two questions. And in verse number 6, we have the answer to those two questions. But in that answer, it answers a whole lot of other questions about salvation. And I want to preach just a few minutes this morning on this subject, on questions and answers about salvation. Questions and answers about salvation. You see, Thomas had his questions and Jesus had the answer. I'm telling you, I'm glad that for every question we have about salvation, Jesus has the answer, because he is the answer. You see, it is not the will of God for any child of God to live in doubt and defeat. It is not the will of God for any sinner to go walk the rest of their life in darkness and walk right off into hell. I'm telling you, the Bible said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Amen. Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. This book has the answers for all the questions of life, and especially for the most important question in life, and that is the question about salvation this morning. I want you to think about the three statements that you know well in verse number 6 here, and how that they answer three very important questions about salvation. I want you to think about the first phrase, I am the way. And it answers this question this morning, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Brother Logan and some of the couple of the men, I think yesterday on visitation, ran into a Jehovah's false witness. Amen. That was you, right? In heaven, it was somebody. Amen. A couple of you men run into them and was witnessing to that man and giving him a try. And I'm not, listen, that man, whoever that man is, we need to pray for his soul. Amen. What he is doing is he is out doing the very best he can. He is searching for some way to heaven. He is trying to earn his way to heaven. He is trying to work his way to heaven. But we know that's not what the Bible says. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And so working your way to heaven will never get you there. That is not the way. That is not how you get saved. You know, I'm glad as they sung that song this morning, I have a Bible. Amen. And I'm so thankful that this book tells us the way of salvation this morning and how that you get saved. Jesus said, I am the way. How can I be saved? I'll tell you how you can be saved this morning. Christ said, I am the way. What that means is this. It means trust Jesus to take you to heaven. Amen. You cannot trust anything else or anyone else to get you to heaven. Acts 4 and verse 12. Again, it's not my word. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in Matthew 1 and verse 21, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. John said in John chapter number 1, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of this world. That's verse 29. What I'm saying to you this morning, it's not my word. It is the word of God. Amen. Don't trust what I say. You trust what the word of God says. And if you want to go to heaven, friend, you got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what the Bible says this morning. Now, if there was somebody sitting here and said, well, I don't believe the Bible, then you can't be saved until you believe the Bible. You say, well, I think that Jesus was just there. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what somebody else believes. It matters what this book says. The Bible is the final authority, amen? And if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to go through this book. You're going to have to go through the blood, amen? You're going to put your faith in the Word of God. You're going to put your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not saved because I prayed a prayer. I'm not saved because I cried tears. I'm not saved because I went to an altar. I'm not saved because it happened at church. I'm not saved because the preacher preached. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by faith in the Word of God. I'm just trusting what the Bible says. Amen. And this morning, if you trusted him a long time ago, you surely ought to trust him today. I am the way. How can I be saved? By trusting Jesus to take you to heaven. Secondly, I am the way. How can I be saved? By talking to Jesus about taking you to heaven. You see, it ain't just enough to go around and say, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, I believe Jesus died. No. You're going to have to ask to be saved. Salvation is a gift this morning. And it's offered to you. And you can have the gift of salvation if you'll ask for it. That's the only requirement that there is to being saved, is to ask. Now, what did Jesus say about asking? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. That's all you got to do this morning. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, what if that's just for some people and not me? Next verse. For everyone that asketh. I'm about to think myself happy. Amen. For everyone that asketh receiveth. You mean God will save a 7-year-old? Oh, yes. For everyone that asketh receiveth. You mean God will save a 70-year-old? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen. You mean God will save a harlot? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. God will save a religious but lost church member? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen. There's no stipulations. There's no requirements. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen. If you'll trust Jesus, if you'll talk to Jesus, if you'll just ask, ye shall receive. Amen. That's not my words this morning. That's not what I think. That's what that book says. And I am the way. I'm telling you, it thrills my soul this morning to know that my salvation does not rest in me this morning, but it rests in that blessed old book that they sung about. I'm telling you, it's so good to be able to say you have a Bible and you know the truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth this morning. How can I be saved this morning? Thank God, by trusting Jesus, by talking to Jesus about taking you to heaven. Trust Jesus to take you to heaven. Talk to Jesus about taking you to heaven. And then thank Jesus for being your way to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost this morning, if you're willing to come down here and trust him, and you're willing to come down here and talk to him. See, a lot of people want to trust him. They don't want to talk to him. It's yours for the taking this morning. But God ain't coming to where you're at. You need to come where he's already came. You got to get out of that seat and come. And if you'll come, and if you'll trust him, and if you'll talk to him, and then just when you're done, thank him. You know what that is? That's faith. When you ask God to save your soul, if you'll just say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. I'm trusting you and I'm asking you the best way I know how. And now I just want to thank you. You'd be amazed what God will do for you. If you'll just step out on a limb and say, how do I know if he saved me? Because he said he would. Just because he said he would. You're not going to have a feeling. I mean, listen, if you're under conviction, sure, you may feel some relief. But I've seen people come to the altar and never shed a tear, but they trusted Jesus Christ and they asked the Lord to save them. And then they thanked him and they walked away with the same assurance if their faith was in the Bible, amen. And that's the only security we really have, amen, is to put our faith. I am the way tells us how I can be saved. Then notice secondly, I am the truth. That answers the question, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? Jesus, you say you're the way, but how can I be sure you're the way? Because he said, I'm the truth. You know what that means this morning? That means he's the very embodiment of truth. Brother, when you take the life of Christ, you can search the scriptures, you can read them over and over. Jesus never spoke one thing that what it wasn't true. He fulfilled all the truth of the Old Testament that spoke about him. He fulfilled in his entire life. He fulfilled the scriptures, which is something that no man could ever do. No man could keep the Ten Commandments, let alone fulfill the law. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill it. He fulfilled every jot. He fulfilled every tittle. 33.5 years, there was not one thing wrong with him. He was the sinless Son of God, and he is still the sinless Son of God. He could not sin, because if he could have sinned then, he could sin right now. But he could not see it. He knew no sins, what the Bible says about him, and he became the righteousness of God. My friend, we became the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So Jesus is the very embodiment of truth. Everything he said was true. Everything he said came to pass, or it will one day come to pass. Even Pilate, who knew how to interrogate, intimidate, and knew how to investigate a man, he put Jesus Christ under the microscope. And can I tell you something? When the Pharisees could find nothing wrong with him, and when the Sadducees had to bring in a false accusers and have a mock trial, a Pilate put him under the microscope and declared to the whole nation, I find no fault in him. Jesus is truth. If my friend, you can trust the word of God, he's truth this morning. Amen. How can I be sure everything he ever said was true? Hear the word of God. This is the truth. Hear the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You know why the heathen in the jungle is not saved? Because he has not heard. This morning you're sitting in church. How can I be sure? Because you hear the truth. Not just hear the truth, but believe the truth this morning. Do you believe what you hear? As a young boy, I heard the gospel. I heard the way of salvation. I heard about Jesus Christ, how that he died for my sins, how that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. And I did not know John 3:16, but God, through the hearing of that preaching, gave me enough faith to believe what I heard. I want to tell you this morning, the Bible says, again, it's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. This morning, you have a measure of faith that God has given you. Where you put that faith, where you invest that faith, determines by your will. You can put that faith anywhere you want to. If you want to put that faith in this world, you can, but you'll die and go to hell. If you want to put that faith in yourself and your own goodness, you can, but you'll die and go to hell. You can deposit that faith anywhere you want to put it. There's no security in any of that. I'm telling you, as just a young boy, I heard the gospel one day, and that little measure of faith that God gave to me, I deposited in the Lord Jesus Christ. I put it in the word of God. You know where you deposit something. You go to a bank. I can tell you the bank I bank at. I can tell you the place I put it at. I can tell you the very spot that I made the deposit. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, you know right now what you're trusting in. You know right now who you're trusting in. And if your faith has been put in him, then my friend, you can be sure this morning, because it's true, isn't it? Believe the truth. Obey the truth this morning. The Bible says they have not all obeyed the gospel. You see, you might be sitting here this morning and know you need to be saved. But in just a moment, it's going to be decision time for you. And if you choose not to come this morning, you choose not to get saved, then you've chose not to obey the gospel. If you know you're lost, you know you need to be saved, and you know that Jesus died for you. If you choose to walk out that door, you've disobeyed the gospel. And God will not save you against your will this morning. Hear the word, believe the word, obey the word, and then just trust it this morning. So, Brother Graff, you just keep going back to trust. That's right. Because that's what it is. You know how to be saved? How can I be saved? Trust the way. How can I be sure? Trust the truth. I'm trusting in Jesus, and I'm trusting in the Word of God this morning. My faith is in the finished work of Calvary. Jesus was born. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose 3 days later. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He's alive. I believe that this morning. I'm trusting that. How are you trusting that? Because I believe that book, and that's what the Bible says. Amen. And I'm trusting what God said. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just believe that this morning. I trust that with all of my heart this morning. If I leave this world, I'm leaving this world trusting Romans 10:13 and John 3:16 and John 10:27 and John 5:24. I'm just going to leave this world trusting Romans 6:23. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God won't let you down. The blood of Jesus Christ won't let you down. I'm telling you, I've anchored everything that I believe about eternity and what God said and what Jesus did. And it will not fail. Hallelujah. It'll do when I'm dying. And thank God it's doing while I'm living right now. Praise God. I am the way. I am the truth. I just feel blessed. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth this morning. I am the truth. Don't trust a feeling. Trust a fact this morning. Don't lean on what you said. Lean on what He said. Don't lean in what you did. Lean on what He's already done. Any security that's within yourself is a false security. But our security in the Scriptures will stabilize us and keep us strong. I am the way. How can I be saved? I am the truth. How can I be sure? Then notice this last statement and we'll be through. I am the life. How can I be satisfied this morning? Brother Gravely, I just want to be satisfied. I just want to pillow my head at night and know that I'm saved. Have you done what God said? If you've never came and you've never asked Jesus to save you, then you ought to do that today. And then after you do that, you ought to thank Him for saving your soul. You ought to leave these premises this morning trusted in the security of what He said, what God said, and what Jesus did at Calvary. Then I'm going to tell you something this morning. How you'll be satisfied is the new life in Jesus Christ. We're talking about abundant life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, John 15, and that you might have it more abundantly. We're talking about eternal life. John chapter number 3 and verse 15. For whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We're talking about spiritual life. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. There's now Romans 8:1, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said that His Word was Spirit in their life this morning. And He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. You say, Brother Gravely, I don't understand that. You're talking about being satisfied. I am the life. Yes, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying when you ask Jesus to save you and you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you put your trust in the Scriptures, how can I be saved? By talking to Jesus, trusting Jesus and thanking Jesus. How can I be sure? By hearing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, believing the Word of God. How can I be satisfied? He's the life. Let Jesus Christ live through you this morning. Amen. You know, in Sunday school, and I told the class, I said, you get a double dose these next few weeks. But in Sunday school, we went through evidence of salvation. And I won't go through all that today in the close of this sermon. But I will tell you this morning, that the more you know, the freer you live. Jesus said, let me pull the scripture up here. And ye shall know the truth. And what shall the truth do? Make you free. I'm going to tell you, that's not just free from your sins, but that's free to live. You know why we can live so free? Because we don't worry about death. We don't worry about eternity. He said, well, preacher, why don't you worry about it? It's already settled. The old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today. For He washed my sins away. So how do you know that? Because I believe in the cross and I'm trusting Christ and I'm trusting the Word of God. I'm telling you, it just makes living a whole lot better. He is life this morning. I pillow your head at night and know that if you don't ever wake up this side of eternity, you're going to wake up in the arms of Jesus this morning. Why? Because He's taken care of it. I'm telling you the evidence of being saved this morning. I know I'm saved. And I've watched people, and I may have said it last week, I know I've said it in Sunday school, but it bears repeating. I've watched people who've doubted their salvation for years try to go back and untangle the day. It's never going to happen. If you could have, you already would have. But this book is big enough to give you the assurance today. I know I'm saved, because the Bible said we know we pass from death into life. We love the brethren. I know I'm saved because 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, or 2, chapter 2 and verse 2, 3, something like that. You'll have to dig it out. As newborn babes, and babies desire that sincere milk of the Word, don't they? They desire that sincere milk. But we as Christians, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. I came to church this morning for this right here. Didn't you? I came to see y'all. I like to see y'all. I hope you like to see me. I did come to see y'all. This is the greatest group of people I know on planet Earth. I mean that. And there ain't no other place I won't be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night than right here at Bible Baptist Church. I love the brethren, but I love these brethren. But I came this morning, and you came this morning, because I love the teaching and the preaching to hear the Word of God, don't you? It feeds our soul if you're saved. You got a blank stare right now if you're lost. You're wondering where you're going to go next if you're lost. You ain't one bit concerned. Now, you could be backslid. I understand that. I'm not talking about it here and there. And I'll tell you, evidence of salvation, you love the Bible, you love the brethren. Evidence of salvation, answered prayer in your life. God will answer the prayer of His children. Evidence of salvation, Holy Spirit leads you. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Evidence of salvation is good works. Good works don't produce faith, but faith produces good works. We're created into good works in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about this morning, salvation gives you a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. You know what that is? A new perspective on life. Seeing life through a different lens. Amen. I told them in Sunday school this morning, and I'm ashamed of this, but I used to listen to some music on TV. And before I got saved, the preacher preached on rock music, and I remember sitting in the kitchen one day telling my mom, I said, I don't know why he preaches on rock music. And what's wrong with that? I was lost. My mother was lost, and she said, I don't know. Is there anything else for him to preach on? And we had that conversation. We're two lost people talking about it. I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what he sees wrong with that. I didn't see anything wrong with that. But after I got saved, nobody had to tell me that. A little still small voice said, you don't need to be listening to that no more. That's why when somebody comes along and tells me they're saved and they listen to rock music and they don't believe it, either they're lying to me or they've never been saved, friend. Because same Holy Ghost, if they're saved, lives in me, lives in them. He ain't no respecter of persons. That goes for country music. Can I get an amen? Amen. Rap and all that other garbage. But I'm telling you, if you're saved, now quitting rock listening to rock music didn't make me saved. I want you to understand that. It had nothing to do with my salvation. But what it did have to do with my salvation is there's life on the inside. It don't make no difference if it was rock music. It made no difference if it was passing out a track. It made no difference if it was reading the Bible. I'm telling you today, all these years later, there's still a still, small voice. There's life on the inside, and He still talks to me. He's not telling me the same things He was way back yonder. And I'm telling you, when I lose my temper, it's that same still, small voice. When I say something I'm not supposed to say, when I think something I'm not supposed to to think. There's life. There's a different perspective. There's a different lens that you're looking through. Hallelujah. Salvation. I'll tell you something. As Brother Stennett Blue used to say, I'm a satisfied customer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? I am the way. How can I be saved? I am the truth. How can I be sure? I am the life. How can I be satisfied? As we stand this morning, our text closes with, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that little phrase, Jesus mentions the sinner, no man. The sovereign cometh unto the Father, but the Savior, but by me. He wants everyone to come this morning. Jesus wants everyone to be saved. God the Father wants everyone to be saved. I want you to look at me just for a give us invitation. John chapter 6 and verse 37, this is what it says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Some of the Calvinists say, well, that's only that who the Father gives. Here's the question about that verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Who has the Father given to Jesus? I'm going to tell you who he's gave. All that will come to him. John 3:16 said, For whosoever, he that is thirsty, let him come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The great invitation is come. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me. I tell you, if you want to be saved, all you got to do this morning is just come. And if you'll trust him and if you'll talk to him, he'll save you this morning. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. If you need to be saved, would you come this morning?